Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. Boy, hearing that music brings me back to 1965 when that album came out. And Sgt. Pepper's was the first album I remember that was available on both mono and stereo. And I was not going to pay the extra 29 cents for the stereo version, which had a yellow stripe across it. So I have in my old LP collection the mono version. And if Phil Spector were around, he'd probably say, good for you, because he was a mono king. It is time for Teen Rap with Pastor Drew Sams. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California, for the last 6 years. He's finishing up doctoral work, and he and his wife, Erica, are expecting a baby. They live in Westlake Village. Tell us, first of all, welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me back. And boy, we are down to the wire.
Okay, well, let's have the update on baby Drew.
All right, well, he is at 36 weeks, 2 days. And I think any day he's going to be coming into this world.
Wait, when is term? Isn't term 35 weeks or 36 weeks?
So technically 40 weeks is 40. Full term. They consider 37 to be, you know, the front end of full term. But and as you know, and I've talked about it before with our friend who's acting as our gestational surrogate, she went into preterm labor about 6 weeks ago. They've put her on bed rest. Now that they just took her off of bed rest, so we're kind of waiting, seeing if he's gonna.
The off of bed rest is to almost encourage the birth.
Yes, and they figure that he is almost to the point of fully matured, and so they think that any day now it could happen. So I've got my bag packed. I've got my phone on the loudest ring it can, and no surfing for me these days. I gotta stay close by.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Well, I hope you will tweet about it instantly, and I will find out about it as soon as it is. Baby Drew has arrived, at which point you will announce his name, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay, you're still keeping it under wraps. So, being the youth pastor at Calvary Church, do you find many of the kids that you deal with are social media addicts by the definition and the questions that I ask?
Definitely. What a great article and how timely it is, especially for this younger generation who's growing up in a world where that's all they've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for you and for me, we know what life was like before social media. And so for us, we can see the newness of it and how much it's changed how we communicate and how we relate to people. But for them, it's all they've ever known. And for students who have their primary means of communication with one another, be texting or Instagramming photos or you know, Twitter updates or Facebook updates, this is really all they've ever known. So the idea of it being an addiction for them is really an interesting thought, because really they've grown up with it. And I want to bring up, there's actually a new technology out there. I don't know if you've heard it, but there's a new app. It's kind of like Twitter, like Facebook, a new form of social media, but there's a huge dark side to it. I want to see if you've heard of this. There's a program out there that you can send a photo to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It will come up on their phone. It will only stay on their phone for about 10 seconds. You can't do a screenshot. You can't save it. And then it goes away, and there's no record of it. And so teens have picked up on this, and they are sending. You can imagine if you have something that you can send that isn't recorded, can't be captured, can't be traced back to you, the type of things that are being sent back and forth. It's been really a big thing that swept through just in the last couple weeks.
What's it called? I haven't.
You know, I'm trying to find it. I'll have it by the end of our. I've got my laptop open, but I'll find it by the end of our segment.
Wow, that's
really interesting. So I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, I haven't. But that sounds like that could be so destructive, because as it were, kids were sending inappropriate photos without caring, and then some of it was coming back to haunt them, and so they were getting a little more cautious. And this takes away any possible cautious concern.
Yeah, it's especially when there's no way to be able to trace it back.
Wow. I mean, who would even want to create such a tool? That is fascinating.
I know.
That fits in the same category as those people that enjoy sending out viruses. I don't quite get what the... I understand from a so-called self-defense position that defense departments might want to disrupt the enemy's communications via a virus. Okay, I understand that. I understand that somebody did something like that to the Iranian nuclear efforts and affected their centrifuges. Okay, that's a virus that makes sense. But something like this that you just described, or just a virus that just causes problems for people, I don't even get the motivation for those
people. I know. But, you know, for some, it's all about making money, and the amount of kids who are jumping on this is really telling that.
So do you allow phones in church?
You know, actually, we encourage it, which I know sounds odd, but my perspective is that's how people communicate, and we want to be able to communicate in ways that they communicate, and we want to be able to, in a way, be able to connect with them. So there's actually a great app that many churches use. It's called the YouVersion, youversion.com.
Uh-huh.
And what we do is we put all of our notes for the teaching for that day on this app. And so people can follow along. They can text in questions. We can interact with them. Even this week, our pastor, I know, in the middle of the service is going to ask people to pull out their phones in the middle of service and invite one person via text message to Easter the following week. So while some churches choose to say, turn it off, kind of like a movie theater, we encourage mm-hmm. people to pull it out and even use it. And I think there are benefits to that, to be able to communicate with people, especially in a large room. You know, you've got a couple thousand people. How can you effectively communicate really quickly? And we find through smartphones and texting, it really works.
I am so fascinated. And as I hear you say it and describe it, it actually makes complete sense to me. Having attended services at your church, you have this wonderful multimedia presentation during every service. And often there are just, you know, basically it's almost like a PowerPoint presentation. You have the bullet points of a sermon, or of what you're speaking of, or the actual, you know, Bible verse and location put up there. So if someone has their phone, they can jot it down or send it out to somebody. Wow, I'm listening to this great thing that I think would help you. And they could send it out right there from the multimedia that you present in church on their own tech device that they're holding in their hand.
Yeah, it's great. You know, now I'm noticing people, they show up with their iPad, they show up with their laptop. You know, we have Wi-Fi that, as you experience, sometimes it's hard for us to make sure it's working well. But it's really neat seeing people use technology, I think, in a positive way.
That is so incredible. What the pastor was referring to is we did a live dad chat last week at Calvary Church, and I was having a hard time getting my computer to hook up to the Wi-Fi, but we got it going, and it was a great chat. It was interesting because our chat last night was called God and Abstinence, and we had not as many participants and not as many tweets as usual. We still had a very, very good turnout of 100 people and about 1,000 tweets. And I wrote an article about it afterwards, which is, what do people really want to talk about? And I wondered if the lack of showing up last week for some people had to do, primarily, I believe it was the NCAAs, but are they not willing to talk about abstinence? And you found when you were seeking to invite high school students that they were afraid of, you know, potentially being embarrassed or just not wanting to be public with any of their thoughts. So that was very interesting. So again, the public sphere that social media offers is a mixed bag.
It really is. And I think for me, I approach it as it's something that's neutral, and we can either use it for good or we can use it for bad.
Well, I say that about human beings. We were born neutral, and we can choose evil or choose good. Mm-hmm. We could have a whole debate about that, because I think our religions have different views on that. So actually, I would love to have that talk sometime with you, Pastor Drew. Well, listen, I will not talk to you next week. Wayne Levine will be hosting the show, and you will, God willing, be holding and, what's the word, swaddling your newborn. And I do want to hear about it. Please remind our viewers where they can find you, especially I hope you'll post immediately on your website the first pictures.
I will. See, one of the great things about social media, I can get the word out so quick. You'll know the name, you'll see the photo, and drewsams.com is where I've been interacting with people.
That's drewsams, SAMS.com. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Next time I speak to you, I believe you will be a father.
Can't wait.
Very good. We will be back after these breaks. This is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View.